awesome weekend, huh? What a blast. Yeah, there were 406 people baptized last weekend. Isn't that a blast? Out of that number, 127 got up and were spontaneously baptized as well. That's remarkable, isn't it? What a great, great time in the presence of God. And also wonderfully, 138 people gave their lives to Christ last weekend. What a blessing, huh? This weekend we're going to start a 3-week series called The Other Baptism. But before I do, I want to take a moment and recognize Rudy Vukas, the master shotgun shooter, who showed me how to obliterate Steve Moore in a competition. It was awesome. But, you know, because listen, if I can go shoot stuff and hit the target, I'm telling you, it is available to all. So make sure you take advantage of that. And, of course, the ladies' event tonight. Michelle will give you an announcement about that. Make sure you don't miss that. It's going to be a great time as you all meet together this evening. But I want to just start a 3-week series called The Other Baptism. You know, the Scripture talks about 4 baptisms in the New Testament. In fact, if you read your Bible, Hebrews chapter 6 tells us there are 6 foundational principles of the doctrines of Christ. In fact, we're told that these 6 foundations are necessary for you to be able to grow into maturity. These are the 101 things of Christianity. This is like teaching your children A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or counting to 10. None of these are great spiritual achievements, and that now all of them are spiritual achievements, but none of them require you being a Christian for 400 years. This is available to you from the day you give your life to Jesus. In fact, when you give your life to the Lord, these 6 things should be part of the foundation of your upbringing in the Lord, your spiritual diet, as it were. And the first one's called repentance from dead works. We don't have time to talk about it. The second, faith toward God. The third doctrine, it's called the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Then there's the doctrine of the laying on of hands, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. You need to have a working understanding of all 6 of those doctrines. We actually have a small group that meets on a video series that I taught about those 6 subjects. Now, the doctrine of baptisms, it's part of what every Christian should be aware of in their foundation. Now, there are 4 baptisms listed in the New Testament. There are only 3 that relate to you and me. The first one was the baptism of John in the River Jordan. Jesus was baptized by John, and we all know that we cannot be baptized by John because John is dead. I don't want to make you feel badly, but he's been gone a long time. And John's ministry, he was a prophet under the Old Covenant, and he would go out and he would baptize in the River Jordan. And then the second baptism, or listed in the New Testament, but the first really applies to us, is called being baptized into Christ. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, or you become born again, or you give your heart to Jesus, whatever terminology you want to put it to, all of those are biblical. You make Jesus the Lord of your life. You pass from death into life. He takes your sin, you receive His righteousness. The Bible calls that being baptized into Christ. That's not about water baptism. It's saying that you are immersed in Him when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. In other words, you no longer find your identity in yourself, but you find your identity as to who you are in Him. Isn't that a good thing? How many of you are glad to be baptized into Christ? It's awesome, isn't it? The second baptism, which we did last weekend, and we'll do it periodically again, is called being baptized with water. It doesn't make you a Christian, but it is a step of obedience. It's a step where you publicly identify with all the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You're saying publicly, I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am stepping forward to identify with what my Savior did for me symbolically. What He did literally on that cross, when you were baptized, if you were last weekend, you declared before all, He is the Lord of my life. And how many of you are glad that you did that? Isn't that awesome? But there's another baptism. It's called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you about that today. In fact, the next 2 weeks beyond today, we're going to talk about it. And not just about the experience, but what it means to have an intimate relationship with the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to what John the Baptist said about this when he was baptizing in the River Jordan in Mark chapter 1, verse 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Let's stop there for a minute. I am color-coordinatedly challenged. If Michelle's not at home, I don't know if what I have on is horrific. And so I will actually ask my daughters, if Michelle's not there, is this decent? And they'll sometimes look at me and go, oh, I'm sorry, Daddy, no, you're so pitiful. And yet, but, you know, look, as far as preachers go, I'm not wearing camel hair. Okay, I might not, you know, at the Steeler game tonight, I might be real tempted to order a calzone. Yeah. But I don't eat locust and wild honey, at least. And so, but you know, John the Baptist, this is a wild guy. He's out in the wilderness, and of course it wasn't faux fur, it was real fur. So I understand they would have picketed John the Baptist. He's wearing camel hair. He's wearing camel. Killed the camel. He's also killing a lot of locusts. But we'll just leave it at that. But John the Baptist, he's preaching. He's preaching the doctrine of repentance. Come in this water and repent of your sins. And then he begins to declare about what he was preparing, because he was, of course, the preparation or preparing the way for the Lord. Let's read now verse 7. And John preached and said, there comes one after me who's mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and to loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The same immersion into that water, how it changes your appearance, your visage, it changes everything about you. You went in dry, you leave wet. He said, he's going to immerse you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing to be baptized with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about in these several weeks what that really means. Now, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things I think, because that happens, I think, sometimes when we talk about our relationship with the Lord, because He's our Heavenly Father, sometimes, I don't think we mean to, but I think in our trying to assimilate in our minds, in our finite minds, a holy God who loves us as His Father, that sometimes we put God at a human level. So much so that where our culture is concerned, we've actually made God subservient to the human level. God created man in His own image, and then man returned the favor. We created God in ours. We created the one we want, the one we like, and, you know, it's cafeteria deal. We'll take that part of God, and that, no, I don't want any fat, leave that out. Now, that's just human pride. But what you find here in the Scripture, as you said, Jesus is trying to get across that the person, that John's saying, the person of God Himself, Jesus, will immerse you in Him. And so you're going to see this term, baptized with the Holy Spirit. But if we're going to be real honest about it, the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep when the worlds were framed by the Word of God. This is God the Creator. This is the God that spoke and the star popped in the sky. They literally, He named them each one. We can't count them. He named them and remembers their names. He made the sun. He made everything there is in the universe. And this magnificent, omnipotent God is going to live in you. You think about it. If now He were to come in all of His glory, in all of His splendor, into a human vessel, your body would explode, as would mine. They would sweep you off the floor and me. That's why in the Old Testament, even God's presence that was in the Ark of the Covenant, that He honored Israel by doing so, He gave them great precaution. He said, do not touch it. Only the high priest could come near it. And that with great precaution, with the blood of a lamb to cover his own sin. And one time when they were moving the ark, they weren't moving it according to the instruction, and it was being carried improperly, and one of the people trying to carry it was about to fall, and he went and touched it to steady it. And the minute he touched it, he just fell over dead. Now someone would say God judged him for touching it. Well, not really. If this pulpit had 50,000 volts of electricity in it right now, you wouldn't say I was being judged by the pulpit if I touched it. You would say I was unwise if I touched it. Now, that 50,000 volts would be like that, because right now, you know, you have electricity in your body, as do I. I don't know a lot about the human body, but I know that our hearts have a type of an electrical current in them. And you need it for your heart to keep beating. So there's this kind of electricity in us right now. But 50,000 volts, your day's gone. You've had your better days on earth, you're done. Correct? Now, let me give you an example like this to kind of help you assimilate why you want to have this Bible experience. One is because Jesus said He wants you to have it. That's enough for me. But you should have an understanding. The Hoover Dam, for example, creates 11 million kilowatts of electricity, kilowatt hours of electricity every day. 11 million. The average home uses about 30 kilowatt hours a day. Now, 11 million and 30. Now, can you imagine if all 11 million came into your home without a way to be stored and just poured right into your house, you would not have a house anymore. It literally would explode off the foundation. In fact, there would be no foundation. There would be a big hole in the ground. It would literally explode if you were to have all of that energy going into these little wires that run around your house to carry the current. So what have engineers done? They've taken the 11 million kilowatt hours and they have done something to enable those to be brought into a bite-sized portion into your home. They've taken this massive amount of energy and they didn't just transmit it into your house. They first transformed it. They brought that great capacity into a place to where they could send it out in portions that were usable. And when you understand that that's what God the Holy Spirit does in our life, He comes into our life and He moves into our life in portions in which He can lift us and help us. Because if God in all of His glory and all of His splendor showed up in my life, there'd be nothing left of me. I remember when Michelle and I first got married, we went overseas to Africa. We were married and a day later we were in London. Sounds romantic, but it really wasn't. Because we were going to Africa and it was a missions thing. And I thought we could just kind of combine the two. Don't do that. At the time, this was in South Africa, was in civil war. And while we were there, I took her to a movie theater one night and they blew it up the next. So it was not the safest place to be and it wasn't really warm and fuzzy. And so just to be honest with you, don't do that. Okay? And in fact, my brother spoke to me later and he said, hey, maybe on the way home you could have taken her fishing in the Persian Gulf. So anyway, we're in England, and Michelle at that time had really, really long hair, and she said, honey, how do I plug this curling iron in over here? Because of course the plugs in the wall in the UK are very different than here. But because I am an electrical genius, I knew that we needed adapters for the plugs, meaning that you plugged one plug into another, which created a different way to go into the two prongs into the wall. So I've got my adapters out and I adapted the plug and I'm ready to go. I thought my adapter was a transformer because the UK is on 220. This runs on 110. So I'm new husband. Pop in the wall and all of a sudden I hear something go zzzz, and I look at this silver tube of a curling iron turn black immediately. And I'm thinking, that's not good. I pulled the plug out of the wall, and I informed, of course, Michelle, nothing's getting curled today. It is now dead and gone. And yet, how many of you have an electric train maybe? You have, growing up with electric trains, you still have them today. And you turn that little thing on, and it takes your 110, and it transforms it into enough to move that little... If you put 110 right into the train won't work anymore. Everything will go, and it'll be gone. And so what the Holy Spirit does is He transforms the power of God into portions in my life that can lift my life. Let me read the statement as it's written, and you'll see it up behind me. When the Holy Spirit, we could say the Transformer, comes, He takes the majestic truth of God and will dispense it in just the way you need it and give it to you with handles that you can take and use. It's the Spirit's delight to take the full truth of God and make one thing meaningful to that woman, something altogether different to that man, something different again to that fellow down there. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And He never makes a mistake. He gives you just what you need. That's what it means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Is the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God of all majesty, will fill you in such a way that He will take all of that power, and He won't just transmit it into you, which would pet you die. He transforms it to the portions you need. See, religion doesn't do that to people. Religion is such an enemy of God and man. Religion basically tries to transmit God to people. Say, here's God, please Him. Figure it out, or we'll tell you the rules to keep. And if you do this and do that and jump through this hoop and climb that ladder and roll 3 times and spin, God will like you. And I'm not putting down anybody who tries to do that. Their intent may be correct, but it doesn't work. Where religion will try to tell you to fix a problem by doing this, doing this, doing this, what the Holy Spirit does is that He comes by the mercy and the grace of God because you belong to Christ. And see, religion will, and it drives people away from God. Because they realize it's like saying, you now, this magnificent, holy and majestic God, now here's what you have to do to make Him benevolent toward you. That is impossible. And the religious zealot will try it their whole life and live under the burden of guilt and live under a burden of legalism. It's that kind of zealotry that drove planes into the World Trade Center. It's that I'll do anything to make you love me. To where people will take their own life and martyr them in killing human life in the name of God. Religion, in any form, in that kind of capacity, Christianity, you call it what you want, that tries to make you responsible, to make God love you, will turn into evil every single time. It has to. But what God did is He sent His Son from heaven to earth, and He paid the debt that none of us could pay. And God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God didn't so love the world that He sent down a list. He didn't reach over the banister of heaven and say, hey, really dig you all. Now here's the list. He came and He paid the price that none of us could ever pay. And when He did, Jesus said, I'll come and make my home in you, and then I will give you the opportunity to be immersed in the person of the Holy Spirit. And listen to what He said the Spirit of God would do in John 16, verse 14. The Holy Spirit, Jesus is speaking. He said, the Holy Spirit will glorify Me. For He will take what is Mine and will declare it and show it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He, the Holy Spirit, will take of Mine and will declare it to you. Now think of that. All of the resources of heaven. All of them. And you think of the pride of our culture today. The pride of people to look to a magnificent God and to suppose to tell Him how all this happened. The arrogance. I'm all for people having subjective discussions and theorizing this, and I wonder if this could have happened, and that's all fine and good. But when somebody definitively, and you've seen it on the news as I have, today's scientists have discovered that 14.7 billion years ago, whatever. Come on. Do you know how arrogant that is? Just curiosity. Why not 14.8 billion? I mean, it's insane. And again, there's nothing wrong with scientific discovery and the theorizing of this could have happened. And that's all fine and good and well and good, and God bless you. But the arrogance to look the Creator of the universe in the eyes and say, we, the creation who have been down here, just we, this group of us for 40, 50, 60 years, we know it all now. That is stupid on steroids. It's so arrogant. It's like me giving you a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, giving you one little piece of it, and you come in here definitively saying, I can tell you exactly what it is, and giving every detail of every piece of the puzzle. Come on. Now, you might be able to theory and run it through your computer models, and it could be this, and that's all fine, good, and fun. But what it does is it creates a pride in man. That I don't need you. I'll define how much I want of God in my life. I'll define how much I need of you. Because
I know this, and I know that, and guys, come on, we don't know. Are you kidding me? Look at our culture. We are knowledge rich and wisdom poor. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is don't put it in the fruit salad. That's the difference. We are a knowledge rich nation, a knowledge rich world, but so wisdom poor. There are more economic degrees in this country than you can count. And our government can't balance a checkbook. We borrow trillions. That's insanity. And these are the people, we human beings, that are going to define every... Are you kidding me? The pride, and that pride seeps into every area of our life. And we begin to look to God and we say, I want you in my life, Lord, but I'm not this part. And particularly when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit. Because it has to do with the supernatural power of God. See, religion is fine with a God with power in the past. And it's fine with a God with power in the future. But religion and pride never safe, never feels content with a God of the now. The scripture said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that did whatever He did whenever He did it can do it the same today. And He'll do it in my life, in your life. He hasn't changed one bit. In fact, the scripture said, I am the Lord, I change not. The scripture says in James, there's not even a shadow of a turning in God, much less a turning. He is forever the same. What has changed are the hearts of men and women who look at Him and say, I don't need you, or I don't want you. Or if I do want you and need you, I'll tell you how much. And I'll live my cafeteria Christianity, and I'll take a slice of this and a slice of that. No, that Holy Spirit thing. So many people through the years, because this involves a supernatural experience with God, I know I'm putting people down. I'm just trying to give you the context as to why so many dear people miss out on having the God of the universe take what you need. Because I can promise you this. There are going to be things in my life and your life that all the king's horses and all the king's men will never put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And never going to happen. There are problems in our life. There are marriages in this room right now that were broken before you met each other. You were so twisted the way you were raised. You had such a weird example of what marriage was. Your belief system was so messed up. And you gave your life to Jesus. You two fell in love. And you've been destructive ever since. And you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be that way. You don't want to hurt that way. And you're going to see someone to get help. And I encourage you to do that. But you can see all the counselors for the rest of your life. But if God Himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, doesn't transmit to you a portion of His glory, His power and His resource in the brokenness of your life, you're done. Ship your saddle home. You're finished. And you'll live the rest of your life in misery. But the God you serve brings you a peace that passes understanding. He heals things that no one can even figure out, let alone fix. He wants to do that in my life. He desperately wants to do that in my life. And it's the work and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit that will transmit what you need in your emotional life, in your physical life, in your financial life. He can do things in our lives that no one could ever dream of. And I've had people, not once or twice, I'm talking multiple times through the years, will come up to me when you talk about this subject because it has to do with the supernatural power of God. And there's a smugness and an arrogance. And I pray they don't mean it, but they don't want to be that way. And they'll say things like this, well, I'm a Christian and all, but that Holy Spirit thing, you know, He's a He, not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is the person of God. So don't call Him an it. You wouldn't look at your spouse and go, it's wonderful. That's a long day if you do that. And in so many words, here's what I've heard more times than I can count when this subject is taught. Sometimes people just get up and leave because they're uncomfortable with God right now. But sometimes they do this. Well, I understand that Holy Spirit teaching and the such. but please, that's really, can we be honest? Sure. It's for the ignorant masses. It's for the undereducated. You know that it was something that, you know, that the undereducated, that those unintelligent masses, of course, not like me, bless my holy name forever. There is no ignorance like arrogance. There is no ignorance like pride. Pride, your life is dying in front of you and you think it's sunshine. It is lethal to every last one of us. So I'm going to ask you today, with Jesus himself, in fact, let me show it to you in the book of Acts. This baptism with the Holy Spirit is the last thing Jesus talked about before he ascended into heaven. It's the final instructions. How many of you parents know when you leave the house, final instructions are most important? Come on. Now, our kids were younger and we finally were able to leave them alone. Our final instructions were, don't turn that on and don't cook this. And you can use the microwave, but don't touch the stove. Now we let them touch the stove because they get it. But when they were little, don't touch the stove. Put stuff, but don't put an egg in the microwave. How many of you had an egg in the microwave? Blow the door off in your house. All right. So, final instructions. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's gathered his disciples together, his followers, and final instructions, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He is now about to explain to them the baptism. He said, guys, do not leave Jerusalem without this. You cannot go forward in your walk with me until this experience is yours. He said, so you wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, and then he ascended into heaven. He went on to say, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word power in the Greek is the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. But aren't you glad the kind of power that God puts in you is not like a stick of dynamite that blows you up? It's power in the portion you need it, when you need it, how you need it, and for what you need it. It's available to every child of God simply by yielding to God and asking for it. And he'll fill you gloriously with His Spirit. And He said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You see, there's one thing to be born of the Spirit, that is to ask Jesus into your heart. And then there's another thing to be filled or baptized with the Spirit. Because these people are already believers. They're already born of the Spirit. Yet Jesus is saying there's an experience, guys, that you must have. And he talks about, we see the experience unfold in Acts chapter 2. The Bible calls it a sound, a mighty rushing wind, a sound from heaven. We've all heard sounds in our life. But this baptism of the Holy Spirit, dear one, is a sound from heaven. And it's available to you right now in the present day in 2012. Right now, this is available to you. This is all throughout the New Testament. What I'm about to read to you occurred in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. This very same experience available to all. You'll find it in the book of 1 Corinthians. You find it in the book of Ephesians. You find it, throughout the book of Jude. It's throughout the Bible. And it's available for you. Listen to what happened in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The infilling of the Holy Spirit with a miraculous accompaniment of the ability to speak in a language other than the one you know. And there's so much to it other than just this event. And we'll take some time in the next couple of weeks and give you more insight into the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm not so much interested in trying to define, and we can do that, all the tongue stuff, because the Holy Spirit and tongues is like buying a pair of shoes. The tongues come with it. It's just a part of the experience. The tongue comes with the shoe. This is a part of the Bible experience. You find it in Acts chapter 2. You find it in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was filled with the Spirit. he of his own, I speak with tongues more than all of you. Acts chapter 10, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible because it mentions Italian people. It does. Cornelius of the Italian band. Now, I have special revelation. This isn't in your Bible, so it's probably not true, but I believe it anyway. His last name was Nuzzo. Probably not. But anyway, Cornelius, the Bible said, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them that heard the word of God. As many as that came with Peter were astonished, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You find it through in Acts 19. The Bible said, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, went to Ephesus. He found certain disciples there. He said, "Have you?" And it's the first question he asked them. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? What was Paul? I mean, the first thing he said to them when he thought he met believers, hey, wait a minute. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit since you gave your life to Jesus? The first question he asked. How important must it be if it's the first question you ask? He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we've not even heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Paul said, then to what baptism were you baptized? They said, we were baptized into John's baptism, which was the baptism of repentance. And that's when Paul said, no, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, pointing to a one who would come after him. And then he told them about Jesus, and they were born again and baptized in water. And then, the Bible said, Paul laid his hands on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. This is in the B-I-B-L-E, and it is for Y-O-U and me. It belongs to you. This belongs to you. It's a marvelous thing to have the power of God in your life, to be able to pray in this wonderful prayer language. It's an awesome thing. And to understand it in its fullness as much as we can is an amazing thing. I know that just a couple experiences that we had had, and I'll share with you my experience in the next couple weeks. When we were in Africa working with Ed and Lori Elliott, Ed was here for impartation, the morning speaker. We were in northern Zambia in a place called, it was outside of a place called Impika. Now, I wasn't with him on this trip, but it was up in that area of Zambia. And there are parts of Africa that are very similar to how they were hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Meaning by that, there's no electricity, no running water, and people are living in very primitive, difficult conditions. And when we would go into certain areas, we'd bring generators and we'd do our meetings and hundreds and even thousands and tens of thousands at times would come. And this area was more remote, so there might be 2,000 or 3,000 people that would eventually show up. And so Ed preached the gospel, and there were believers that were even there and prior who had come to help support the meeting. And at the end of the service, Ed's down among the people, and there's a lady speaking perfect English. And He's perplexed by it, because if you've ever lived in Africa and never been there, you'll see when you meet people from the rural areas, you would be shocked to see them speaking in English. And so he was kind of shocked by it. So he went over to her and he said, where did you learn your English? It's perfect. And she just stared at him. And he said, well, where? And finally he's thinking, well, he brings an interpreter over. He said, ask her if she speaks English. Of course, she says no, and he's perplexed. He said, ask her if she's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he asked, he said, yes, I have been. He said, tell her, would she please pray with me in the Spirit? Use her prayer language and begin to pray. He said, this wonderful lady closed her eyes, looked at her hands, and began to say, Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I honor you with all my heart. And he said, I've been Spirit-filled for years, but to see this woman speaking perfect English in her prayer language. See, it's an unknown tongue to her. It wasn't unknown to Ed. And he said, it just overwhelmed me to see the power of God in such demonstration. Several years ago, back in our old building, Vicki East, who's our worship director and leader, was back in the side room, kind of like we have over here, and the worship team was back there, and they were praying before the service. And she was praying in the Spirit. And Raj Daniels, who is from India, born in India, was standing right beside Vicki, and when she finished, he said to her, he said, Vicki, you were praying in my language. It's an amazing thing. So that's supernatural and cool. Don't get caught up in the supernatural event. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It is God Himself and what He'll do in my life and in your life. Jesus commanded that every believer should receive this experience. Let's close in John chapter 7, verse 37. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. in humility to receive all that God has for you. In John 7, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out and said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus cried out. See, this was not a conversational tone. "Any man thirst, let him come to me." He's crying out. And the same Jesus that cried out then would cry out today. "If any man thirst, come to me." The question isn't what will God do for you. The question is, are you thirsty? What will you do with the living water that's available to you? Humility will make you thirsty. Humility will make you look at the conditions of this world in your life and realize that only by the mercy of God and the grace and the resources of heaven will you be able to walk through this life victorious. Pride says, "God, I'll take you here, but not over here. God, I love you here, but please, let's not get too extreme." You know, like dying on a cross is an extreme. Think about it. And he said, "Are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, you come to me and I will give you rivers of living water that will flow up out of your innermost being." But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, that they which believe on him, how many of you believe on him? That they which believe on him should receive. For at this point, the Holy Spirit had not been yet given because Jesus had not yet ascended into heaven. So the question will not be, do I believe this or I don't believe it? In fact, I would tell you this morning, if I asked Michelle to stand up here at the end of the service, and we had checks that were all good, blank checks, you write your name in them, and they're worth each one $30 million. And they're good checks. Now, I'd say Steve Moore, but you know they'd bounce. How many of you would say, "I'll pray about it"? Let me think of it. I've had people, when you bring the Word of God to them, "Christian, you want to receive from God? I'm going to pray about it." You're going to pray about doing God's will. What do you think he's going to tell you? No. Now, if Michelle were standing up here with a limited amount of $30 million checks, and when we said amen at the end of the service, the people who got there first got their check, we'd need an ambulance service. Because people be killing each other, beating over seats. They're like, I'm on the inside of the row, so move, or I'm going to move you. Because $30 million changed my life. You're right now thinking how to quit your job. I might go next tomorrow. I guess I got to do that 2-week notice thing, but I'm coming in going, I'm done. Can we talk you into staying? No. What about your 401k? Keep it. Right? Because you know that resource and how. But when it comes to receiving from God, Christians will say, "Well, I need some time." But when it came to getting $30 million, hop out of your seat in a moment. The difference between this event and the one I'm telling you about in Scripture is the one in Scripture is actually true. And he is unlimited. And he wants to do a great work in your life. And so I want to ask you today, first, before you can receive the Spirit of God and the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the first thing you have to do is believe on Jesus. And I want to make certain you've had the opportunity to do that. Would you bow your heads with me today? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart to be the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if today you drew your final breath and slipped into an eternity. Dear one, please hear my heart. Religion won't make you right with God. There is no church, no denomination that can make you right with God. There is salvation in no church, including this church. There is salvation in no pastor, in no priest, including this pastor. There is salvation in no church sacrament, including any that you'll get in this church. Salvation is in a person, Jesus. And the question you must ask and answer is, what have you done with him? Not religion. You say, "Well, I've made too many mistakes." No. God so loved the world without him that he gave his son, that he died for you and for me. What will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him into your life or reject him? By inviting Christ into your heart, the scripture said he'll come and turn no one away. He'll make you brand new. Your sin debt will be vanished and he'll give you his righteousness. And you will receive the free gift of eternal life. So if you're here today and you say, "Pastor John, I don't know that if I died today where I'd spend my eternity. For Jesus said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And he died so that men and women could have the free gift of eternal life. You can't earn this. It is a free gift. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor John, would you please include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. And the whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're at. So if you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. This isn't about the Holy Spirit that I talked about. This is first believing on Him. Say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Include me in that prayer right where I'm seated. And the whole church will pray it out loud together with me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you boldly right now just lift your hand so we can pray for you? Do it right now. And Christ will come into your heart. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Ma'am, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Ma'am, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, I've not yet raised my hand. Thank you so much. Say, Pastor, include me with those many people that have raised their hand. I've not yet done so. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand back down. Anyone else, say, include me as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Christ will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Pray this where you hear it, and we'll pray together with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt and burden of my sin. I open my heart to you. And Jesus, I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is vanished. I am now heaven bound. And I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? Would you bow your heads one more time with me? If you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I've never received the baptism with the Holy Spirit like it's taught in the Bible. I want this Bible experience. I want to humble myself before the mighty hand of God. I want what Jesus said I should have. I don't want to leave like they were told not to leave Jerusalem without this. I don't want to leave today without this. And I want to humble myself. I'm thirsty for God. I'm tired of depending on my own resources, my own ways, my own thoughts, my own answers. And I want to be filled with the Spirit, and I want to yield to His counsel in my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, in a moment I'm going to give you an opportunity to be prayed for, and it's going to be private. But I want you first to acknowledge that you are here today, and you say, you know, Pastor John, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to have that Bible experience. Last night, 44 people came and received that Bible experience. 9 o'clock, 24. Will you be in that number of those who step out of a place of, I should say, step into a place of utter humility, say, I want all that He has for me. I want everything that God has for me, and I want to walk with Him. Not this weekend Christianity thing. I want to walk with God in everyday life. I want to have Him in my gettings up, in my going to bed, in my living, and every day. I want to walk with my God. And I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I desire to receive that Bible experience today. Would you please include me in that gathering to be prayed for? Right where you're seated right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift your hand up real high. Do it right now. Just boldly lift your hand up. Lift it high. As a declaration to God, I want that, Father. I want that from you. I want that from you. I want that from you. Father, I want that from you. I want that with you. I want that, my Father. Now, would the rest of you lift your hands both with them and let's pray. Lord, as an act of surrender, we lift up our hands today. And I thank you for every person, the many, 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 many people in this room that lifted their hands. I know they will not leave this place disappointed. That they will gloriously receive the person of the Holy Spirit today and step into a whole other level of their walk with you. And so, Lord, we celebrate with them today. We thank you for the great work you are doing and will do in their life. In Jesus' name. Now, if you raise your hand, Pastor John Spencer's standing up right now. We have a private place to take you to prayer. Just gather up your stuff and let's just stand up right now and make your way and go meet with them right now. Come on, be bold and get up and let's go. Come on, man. Praise God. Give them a hand as they go, would you? Be bold about it. Go get everything your God has for you. Praise God forevermore. Man, give them a hand as they go. Father, we thank you for their life. Glory to God. You are going to be so blessed. Oh, man. Congratulations. As you receive the fullness of what He has for you. What an awesome, awesome experience. Thank you, Father. Thank you. They will never be the same again. Never be the same. Let's pray for them as they go. Father, I thank you for every person as they go out of this place. I thank you that you will gloriously fill them. You will do a work in lives. I know that by your power, bodies can be healed in that room as they receive. Marriages can be put back together. Answers can be had of generations of questions. And Lord, we pray the blessing of heaven over each and every one of them, over their family. And we know that they are going to another place in you, another step in you in obedience. And we give you the honor, we give you the glory for what you're doing in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand, would you? Praise God.